The World Show with Nikki B.
Yes, talking about the best in African music, I am joined now by one of the best African musicians. Welcome back to The World Show, Seritse. Tumeletso Seritse. We know him best, Seritse and the Natives, but I just call him Seritse. Welcome again to The World Show. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, Nikki. Thank you so much.
And I must say, when you sent me this album a couple of weeks ago, I was just... Actually, the more I listen to it, the more blown away I am by this album. You know...
Wow.
I usually say this, but you've got to understand that the musicians I have on the show, I usually love the whole album. So once again, I'm going to have quite a task to choose 4 or 5 songs out of this epic album. It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Wow.
It's called I Am Africa. Okay.
Yes.
Self-explanatory, I Am Africa. Yes. But what made you want to write and release this particular song at this particular time?
For me, I wanted to create an album where I would have African musicians, you know, playing together. And, you know, because usually you would have like guys here at home and we'll do our album and then we'll take it to the world. But my thing was that I wanted to create music where I collaborate with musicians from all over the continent.
Yes.
And to celebrate our diversity, because I believe we are stronger together, you know, and if not in words, I hope that this would find expression in the music itself, you know, in the guitars, the drums, the rhythms, the grooves, and all that. So that was the whole idea about that, especially at this time.
Yes.
Where, you know, it's like, you know, people, everyone, you know, we've gone through the pandemic where everyone is like, has to lock themselves up in their own houses, in their own countries, you know, just to remind ourselves that, you know, we are stronger together. We need each other. We are the human race. And our thing is interdependence, you know, and so bring musicians together so we can, you know, express this language, you know.
Absolutely. Now, you did do this album. You obviously worked on this album during the lockdown. So,
yes.
You know, was it something you'd been working on before the lockdown, or was this done entirely during this pandemic period?
Yeah, only one song was recorded, I think September 2019, which
yes.
is called Matumbo.
Yes.
Yeah. But the rest of the songs were recorded during the lockdown, starting around May, I think, last year. So we finished the album the first quarter of 2021. Yes. So it's really a COVID-19 album, for lack of a better descriptor, you know. So, yeah.
But that's also beautiful for me, because, you know, it's precisely these kind of works that certainly inspire and encourage us during these really tough times. So, you know, we give thanks to actually make mention that it came out of this terrible period, because this is the kind of music that I think has kept so many of us going, is the music and the arts, and we give thanks for that. But were most of the songs done virtually? I mean, were you sending files? Because obviously, like working with Bokani or Barita or whoever, you couldn't be in the same place.
Yeah, we are not in the same room. So I really have had to learn to communicate and be very precise.
Yes.
Because if I don't communicate very well, then would go back and forth forever.
Yes.
You know, because, you know, the other artists, you'll be mindful that at the time, the other artists as well had their own lockdowns wherever they are.
Yes.
So some of them didn't even have studios in their houses. So it meant that when there was a lockdown, they couldn't leave the house to go to a studio and record their parts. So if I don't get it right, if I don't explain myself what I want for the song, I may find that it will go on and on and on and on and on, you know, back and forth. So I think it was really also testament of the, you know, the quality of the musicians who are featured, the singers. A lot of them, you know, I just said, oh yeah, this is what I want to do with the song. And they would just get it, you know, the first time. So, I mean, just, you know, they brought their A game, and these are super duper great musicians, you know, at the top of their game. And I'm blessed and I was honored for them to agree to be part of the project. So we're never in the same room, you know, we're never in the same room.
Well, that is amazing, because one of the things that did strike me about the album is, well, there are a lot of things strike me about the album, which I'll talk about, but is the production. You know, there's such a beautiful sound that you've got working with instruments. This is not a Beats album. I mean, this is an album that is about instrumentation and vocals and storytelling. So it's incredible. I want to discuss a whole lot more, but for now, let's play the first track, which is the title track. I suppose it is, yes. The Africa song. Yeah, the Africa song. It's Our Time Now. And tell me about who's featured on the song, but before you even do that, tell me about who's featured on the little interlude that opens the album. Is that your child?
Okay. Yes, my daughter. And she happens to be called Africa. That's her name.
Yes.
You know, so the album has double meanings, you know. And for me, she represents the future. You know, she's a reminder to myself that, you know, I have to live a better world for her, you know what I mean, than the one I found. And we have to win the future for this, you know, young Africans, you know, because they are the future. And everything we do, we need to be thinking, are we doing the best thing? Is everything we do, the policies, the resources, is it in the best interest of our kids? Because if we are talking about our kids, then we're certainly talking about the future and progress of, you know, the continent and of humanity. You know, it's about the kids. You know, if we start looking beyond ourselves and we think about our kids, then I think we can't go wrong with whatever planning that we do, you know, whatever strategies. If we put the kid at the center, then we will certainly win the future, you know, for our kids, you know, for the continent, for the world, for humanity. Yes. So, yeah, that's her speaking. I actually played the song for her and asked her, what do you think this song is about? You know, and then she said, oh, yeah, this is what I think the song is about. Yeah,
that's amazing. Her. So I have to play both. In fact, let me play that little opening as well as the song, and then we'll talk about who else is featured on the actual song.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
This is The World Show. I am speaking to Tomeletso Siritsi from Siritsi and the Natives. And it's my pleasure to be sharing his new album, Iron Africa, with you.
We need to sit back and re-educate ourselves and replan for our future generations.
Africans, we are bound together by blood and history, land and lineage. The only thing that separates us are borders we did not draw.
Kaya 959. I am with the man who wrote, recorded, and released that. The Africa song, it's for Siritsi, or Siritsi and the Natives. The album is I Am Africa. Beautiful. Who's featured on that song, Siritsi?
Oh, yeah. I had amazing talents in there. There's Wezi from Zambia, and James Sakala also from Zambia, and there's Berita from Zimbabwe, South Africa.
Yes.
And I also had some guys who were doing monologues there. There's also Lindelo Mthongana, who I know is a former news reader on SABC, and a good friend. And there's also my son in there, you know, the 15-year-old.
Yes.
So it's a bit of a familiar thing. There's also Mia Ismi, who is she plays the violin, and she does a brief singing cameo at the end there.
Yes.
And she's from Indonesia. So, because Africa needs friends everywhere.
Absolutely. And some people, we just accept them as honorary Africans.
Yes.
So now, Sarita, when you wrote this, this is your latest album. It's your third, if I'm not mistaken. Is it your third as Siritsi and the Natives?
Yes.
Had you already planned to release this album and then, you know, the pandemic happened? Or was this really just coming out of this last year?
Really, the plan was to release the album. Actually, I wanted to release an album in 2019 when I recorded the first song, which is Matumbo, in September 2019. I actually wanted to put out an album that year.
Yes.
But I recorded it, then I didn't feel like, you know, going on, and I felt, I'm not feeling like putting out an album, you know, it's just me thinking I want to do it. Maybe I'm not feeling like I really, really want to put out. So I just didn't go ahead with it. It was only around when, you know, because we had a lot of bookings being canceled, you know, like we had to travel, but we couldn't. We had festivals that we had to do. We couldn't do them. And it was a frustrating time.
Yes.
So I found, you know, I took a lot of refuge in the music. You know, that's where I think just recording the album really helped me, you know, to really deal with this disappointments, with, you know, being locked up in your house forever. And, you know, so for me, I think the inspiration really came from this thing. So I wanted something to hold on to, something for me to keep thinking and hoping for a better future. And I was like, you know what, I want to create a soundtrack for my world after this pandemic. I want to be out there and playing the songs, and I want to travel. I want to have all these artists come to Botswana. We have a nice gig and I get to visit them. We have some beautiful gigs there where we play music that we wrote together. Yes. So for me, the album really gave me hope, you know, it gave me hope that there will be a better world where we can get together and play music together, you know, music that we created together. So it really helped me psychologically. Yes. You know, I wasn't focused on the pandemic. I was focused on
the album.
Let me get the song done.
Yes.
Can it be the most beautiful it can never be? You know, so for me, that was my, when everyone else was stressed with all the other things, I was stressed with, is the music sounding right?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
When is this guy sending me the files? Because I want to hear what he's bringing, or, you know, that kind of stuff. So it really helped me, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I said, I think it kind of gives you purpose, but again, it really helps all of us. And that I want to say again, definitely very, very inspiring. Now, one of the things about this album as well, and I suppose it's about all your work, but it's really diverse stylistically. You know, you've got different songs. Some songs are quite folksy. Some songs have got rock elements. Some songs, I don't know, it's jazz elements. Was that like almost like a specific intention that you want to explore different genres in different songs? Or did that happen organically?
Well, I would like to believe it's kind of happening organically, because, I mean, if you were to look at my playlist on any given day, I'm listening to music from all over the world. You know, I'm a student of music, and I just enjoy music. You know, I think it's a beautiful thing. Sometimes I try to find out, you know, if I don't know the music, you know, that people are enjoying, I try to find out what is it that they, you know. So for me, music keeps me open-minded, you know.
Yes.
And it also keeps me grounded and humble, because you can never know this thing, the magic of it. You can never understand it, you know, so you can never be, you are on top of this. That is for me, that is, you know, I can never think that I'm on top of this music thing. So I'm forever a student, and so I try as much as I can to be as open-minded as I can be, to say, what is this thing called amapiano? Where is the joy in this thing? And I usually find it.
Yes.
You know, if I just open my mind, I'm like, oh, okay, I see the beauty, you know. So for me, I just love all music.
Yes.
You know, I just, you know, I think it's just, there are two types of music for me. It's a song that I like and a song that doesn't speak to me, you know, and it's not genres. It's just a song.
No,
you know,
absolutely.
I like this song. Oh, this one, no, it doesn't speak to me. For me, it's as simple as that.
I love that, because I feel the same way. You know, I can be more elite and talk about good and bad music, which I've had many, many, you know, debates around, is there bad music? But I like that way, either because I think it's great or because I don't. let's play another track. And this track, and there's a couple on the album, have got that signature joyful Siritsi sound. Tell us about this one, Tsaba, featuring Hansi.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Taba is a song that, you know, there's a vibe of the happy sound. It also comes in part from the we have a guitar tradition in Botswana called the 4-string. So the sound is more like that. It's very upbeat. You know, we might be singing about a very sad thing, but yes, you know, in, you know, the context is happy. So for me, I think it's also a beautiful poetry there, you know, like how you might be singing about a sad thing, but the music is just happy all around. So the song actually is about, you know, if you have a lover who you don't know whether they are here or they are with you or they are not with you. So they're just standing at the fence there. So the song is saying, you know what, you know, make up your mind, you know, whether you are with me or I'm without you. So that's what the song is about. And I feature a guy called Hensi, who's like a big star here in Botswana. And I know he's been featured in a lot of house music projects in South Africa. You know, those songs I know that are really trending in South Africa and now playing on some radio stations there. So we've been talking for a while about doing something together. And this is our collaboration, Taba.
Thank you so much, Tsiretsi from Tsiretsi and the Natives, with us on The World Show, and coming up, another beautiful track of his album, I Am Africa. Kaya 959. Beautiful, always inspiring, even as you say, if it's a sad song. Tsiretsi and the Natives, I Am Africa is the album, and that one is Saba featuring Han C. And of course, I'm with the man himself, Tsiretsi. Now, Tsiretsi, when I listen to your music, and I don't speak Tswana, but you know, the music I know of you from before this album, I realize that many artists refer to themselves as storytellers. But when I listen to this album or your music, I know that you're a storyteller, even if I don't know the meaning of the language, you know. And I think many people use it almost quite broadly. But for me, there's something about your music that shows me you are telling stories. You know, that you are, that is what it's about. That is almost the legacy you carry in the songs that you write. Yes.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much.
So it's very important for me to know what they're about.
Yes. But I thank you so much. I think that's a huge compliment because, you know, when we're young, when I was young, I thought that, you know, I should sing in English, you know.
Yes.
Because people wouldn't know what I'm singing about. They wouldn't connect with the music if I sing in my mother tongue. But you know,
you thought it would limit the audience.
The audience, yes. Which is true to some extent.
For some people.
For some people, yes. Yes. As I grew older, I got to appreciate music, because I'm also listening to music that I don't even know what people are singing there.
Yes.
You know, and I listen to a lot of jazz. There are no words there, but the music works. Yes. You know, so my thing was, well, this is just a feeling. You know, it's either you feel it or you don't. You know, so for me, it's down to that, you know, thing. You know, that a song is a feeling at the very, you know, primal level. It's just a soul speaking to a soul. So either that happens or it doesn't.
Yes.
Even if you know what the words are, you know, like table, I know what a table is. Yes. I'm like, oh, you know, my eyes, like, you know what eyes are.
Yes.
But if that doesn't connect with you, yeah, you can hear I'm saying table, but then I think I would have failed, you know. So even if I don't know what Salif Keita is saying, I still love that song, Africa. I don't know what Oliver Mtukudzi is saying, but I still love that music. I don't know what, you know, what the jazz cats are saying.
Yes.
With the crazy, whatever, bebop thing, but I feel something there that connects with me. And I think that's what it's about. Yeah.
But don't you also think, because for me what strikes me is the different melodies and rhythms that exist in language. And in a sense, it's also about, on one hand, as you say, it's about the expression of what you're trying to say. But on the other hand, it's also about that musicality found within a language. And I think Tswana has very much got that almost a rhythmic feeling.
It's a tonal language, like other languages. So for me, I like to say that there's usually music, and that happens all the time. There's music that is locked in the words themselves.
Yes.
So how you say the words, if there was an English word there, you would say it or you would sing it. It will tell you to sing in it. You know, your choice of notes will be different because of how the language, you know, is built, you know, how you rise and fall, you know, with the sound. So even with the Setswana is the same thing. You know, it tells me, the words really tell me how to sing them. You know what I mean? So,
and sometimes
I like to say half the work.
Yeah, and sometimes
half the work is done.
Yeah, because sometimes you actually move from Setswana into English, and I suppose that's the words telling you.
Of course. Yes.
So tell us about this next song. You know, I described there's certain songs and there's a certain sound that you have that is for me a new folk. You know, because it draws on very rich folk roots or elements and presents them in an urban, contemporary way. And the next track is one of those, Masheleng. Tell us about this track.
Masheleng, actually, the rhythm, the groove, you know, it comes from the rhythm that dancers make when they dance to a traditional dance form called Setapa. Right, so it's a happy dance, traditional dance here in Botswana, very energetic, really crazy polyrhythms going on. So I just got the, you know, just listen to the feet, you know, as they fall, and that's the basis of this sound, you know, the groove, you know. But the song, the message, actually the song is about, I was just imagining a world where if ever I was to become like stinking rich, you know what I mean? If I was to be like stinking rich. So I'm saying, if I had that kind of fortune, would I spend it, you know, in these cities around the world, go to Milan, go to London, you know, worship there, you know, follow God there, you know, and go worship with the Pope, because that's what I see. Rich people, I get to hang with those people. Would I be spending my money there all over the world? And then when I die, would I do it like I see some other people who maybe that rich, and they say, no, I want to be buried, you know, in that dusty backwater in my village.
Yes.
You know, which I didn't even develop, or I didn't spend my money there. Mm. Although I may have made my money among my people, but I'll just spend it
elsewhere,
you know,
elsewhere,
somewhere far away. But when I die, it's like, you know what? I want my spirit to be with my forefathers. You know, it's like, will I come back to die here? You know, so it's the way I tell it, it's kind of funny, you know, which is what I do with some of, you know, how I tell some of these issues is like, I'll say it in a funny kind of
difficult issues, so
for me it's like a nice break about that can we really you know develop where we are and really focus on, you know, for those who are fortunate. I think it's even in the Bible. I forgot the verse that, yeah, you know, can we, you know, be gracious among our people as well, and deal with the poverty around us, not to be, you know, be proud that, I want to be buried at home, you know. It's like, it's a thing for a lot of us Africans that we really want to be buried at home. I mean, I may live in Gaborone, which is the city here, and, you know, being known as the big guy here. But when I die, a lot of us will say, no, I want to be buried next to my father,
yes.
You know, and that will be in some village that nobody has ever heard about.
Yes.
There's no running water, there's no electricity, there are no roads. You know, kids go to school barefooted in winter, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's, for me, it's a song about, you know, maybe we need to reflect on some of these things.
Thank you so much. A beautiful message there. Mashaleng is the song. Seretse and the Natives, the new album, is I Am Africa. And it's my pleasure to share it with you and speak to the man himself on The World Show. Beautiful. Kaya 959. Seretse and the Natives. What a beautiful and soulful album. I think I'm going to not put your, you know, for me, it's always been new folk plus other things. But now I think I'm putting you in the African soul category. If I have to categorize. Mind you, there's all of it in the album, Seretse. Very, very beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, something else I wanted to ask you. Your band, Seretse, the Natives.
Yeah.
The importance of working with a band.
Okay.
And, you know, the journey you've been on and why it's not just Seretse, the front man, and a group of musicians. Bless their hearts.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, first thing, Seretse, I'm Seretse, right? And the Natives are the supporters, are the fans, right?
Yes.
So the Natives refer to the people who like my music, who support my music, the fans who buy my music. It also a reference to, you know, my people, you know, the people of Botswana, because a lot of the music comes from their rhythms, right?
Yes.
So the Natives, usually my fans would, if you meet them, they would say, I'm a Native. I'm a Native, you know.
Okay.
So even when I...
So I'm a Native.
Yeah,
so I'm definitely...
So you are a Native.
I'm definitely a Native, yes.
So when I get on stage, how I introduce myself is, I'm Seretse, and you are... And they say, the Natives, you know. So that's where it's at. But yes, it's very important for me to work with musicians who play live instruments, you know. For me, there's no substitute for that. You know, I really, really love live instruments, and I like to play with, you know, like a revolving, you know, roster of musicians. Usually I don't play with the same people all the time.
Okay, so I've got it completely wrong. Thank you for correcting me. Thank you for correcting me. But there are some of the musicians that you obviously are very close to, and Yes.
There are those who have played with me more than others. Those who have recorded with me more than others. But for me, your question is still a valid question. Is it important for me to play with musicians all the time on stage? And what does it bring to the music? You know, so for me, it's very important because they also bring of themselves to the music. They invest themselves in the music. And it's a conversation, you know, with the real people, you know, and I live for that because when we actually connect on stage or in the studio, it's just magical. And you can tell that, yeah, there's something, you know, something really above all of us, something bigger than the sum, you know.
Yes.
And that happens when you have souls, you know, in communion together. And just, you know, at the same energy, you know, because for me, everything is energy and music is energy. So when you lock into that energy and you're in the same room, there's nothing better than that. Other people will say, oh, he's just zoned out. You don't even see time, you know. It's like, it's just this beautiful feeling, you know. It's like a high, you know, that, I don't know, the highest high.
It's
when you talk, when that happens, that's the highest high.
And that's when I say the great producer up there is the one who's responsible.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Now, I'm getting like anxious because I wish the world show still had another hour, but I want to play a few more songs. And the next one I want to play because I find it, on one hand, I wanted to play the song because it's got that strong jazz element. But from what I know, you also have a long relationship with the person you featured here, or one of the people that's featured, which was Bokani Taya.
Yeah.
So tell me about the song Rato Lame, which features Bokani and Sia the Piper. Your relationship with Bokani, does it go back to Botswana days or to your coming to South Africa?
I actually knew him before I even had music out, you know, before I was 18.
From Botswana days.
I knew him.
Yes.
Yeah, back in the day. So I used to read about him, you know, like, oh, there's this jazz pianist, you know, and I knew his father, you know, I'd seen him perform, you know, way back. And so I was like, oh, the son of, you know. So, you know, I'll read about him performing at, you know, Standard Jazz, you know, Standard Bank, Joy of Jazz, all those gigs. So I used to read about him. So I obviously he didn't know about me, but I knew about him.
Yes.
Fortunately, he came here 3 or so years back for one of the big jazz festivals here called JMC Jazz, and we were playing together on that night.
Okay.
And so we had that conversation where he was like, hey man, you know, we have to do something. And I was like, yes, certainly, let's do something. So we've been talking about doing something for years, you know.
Yes.
So when I was working on this album, I said, hey man, you know what, I would like you to play on this album. I'm certain I'm putting out an album, so let's do this. So I sent the music to him and said, man, I'd like you to do your magic here. And for me, I also picked a song that I thought, you know, was not what I usually would do. And I thought it's not necessarily what he would usually would do.
That's why I wanted you know, to play so. It, yes, because I picked that up, yes. But it works.
Yeah, so for me, it was like, we could have said, you know, let's do something, you know, Jay-Z, whatever. But I was like, yeah, let's do something that it's outside my comfort zone and maybe not what he usually does as well. So some dance, you know, happy vibes kind of song. So the song is called Rato Lami. It's a love song. It's about when a man has made up his mind that he wants to settle down with a special woman and they want to build a family. So that's what Rato Lami is about. Yes.
And it also features Sia the Piper. Who's Sia the Piper? Tell us about Sia.
My story with Sia the Piper is the same as with Bokani to some extent, because Sia the Piper is a flute player from Zambia, Lusaka. And I met the guy. Okay, I actually met the guy when the day my first album came out, my first album in 2015, Sia the Piper was playing with a local band here in Gaborone, you know, and there was this kid, you know, he's a younger guy, he's much younger than me. There was this kid who was just playing, you know, he was dazzling everyone with his flute playing, you know, and after the show we met and he was like, oh yeah, I know about you, blah, 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 blah. You know, I'll be happy to play with you. And I said, yeah, sure, man. I like your play. So, but we haven't been talking that much over the years.
Yes.
Only last year, I reached out to him and said, boss, do you remember?
Now's
the
time.
Yes. He said, yes. And I said, you know, let me send you some music and please just put your flute in there. And he did wonders. So now we have Rato Lami. Yeah.
Fantastic. Seretse and the Natives. The album I Am Africa, it is out now. And this one is Rato Lami, featuring Bokani Taya and Sia the Piper. It is, of course, the World Show. Yeah, 9 5 9. Absolutely beautiful. It is, of course, tonight's special guest, Seretse and the Natives. I Am Africa is the name of the album, and that one is Aratulame, featuring Bokani Dia and Sia the Piper. So, Seretse, your album, it is available on all formats. Is a physical copy available? Can people order it? Tell us how people can get your album.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. At the moment, it's available on the website for those who want a soft copy. My website is www.seretseandthenatives.com. And the Natives, A-N-D.
Yes.
And yes, I do have CDs. And, you know, so to get a CDs, I think you can get in contact with me on just look up Tumelezo Seretse on Facebook, or Seretse and the Natives on Facebook, and just slide into our inbox, and we'll make it happen for you. We can send CDs all over the world, and I've started doing that actually. I've been sending a few CDs out to, you know, those people who want them, because there are people who still want to touch and
of course
feel the pain, you know what I mean? So I can make that happen for you. Or on Twitter, you can find us on Twitter as well, at Seretse Natives, or on Instagram, at Seretse and the Natives. We have a website, www.seretseandthenatives.com. So, yeah, you would find the, even on email, info@seretseandthenatives, or management@seretseandthenatives.com.
And it is on digital. People can buy it on download as well, I imagine.
Yes.
On all the digital platforms. Yes. Fantastic. I'm going to share those details definitely as we finish chatting. But we've got to end up with one more song. But before we end up with the song, I wanted to ask you about Botswana and how is the scene in Botswana, especially in relation to live music? Not live. Well, I know we've got a pandemic now. But I'm saying music that is played on instruments, not just electronic music. Is it happening there? Yes.
Yeah, it is happening. It is happening. There are a good number of musicians who are playing with live bands. Some of them, they may, record with, I like to call them fake instruments. Yes. But when they play live, they play with the real instruments. Yes. And there's a good number of them who do that. And a lot of churches have really, revolutionized, live music in the country, because it's like for many years, we didn't have music schools, and we still don't have music schools.
Yes.
So our training grounds were actually the live stage. And now with these fire churches, I don't know whether you call them fire churches that side.
Yes.
The past, I don't know, two decades or so, there's been like a steady stream of musicians coming from, those churches, and they've really brought, the live music, they've really, enlivened it. It's so vibrant right now.
Yes.
So many people who are playing live music right now, and it's beautiful.
That's fantastic.
At that time, yes.
I can't wait for all these lockdowns and other variants to end, so I can come and visit you and watch a Seretse and the Natives show in Gaborone, and maybe even play a mix after your set.
You know what I mean? Yeah, let's do that. I'll hold you to that.
Seretse, unfortunately, we've run out of time. I could spend so much more time talking to you, but I've got to end with this song. And this one, I told you, it is one of my absolute favorites on the album, although that is quite a difficult statement to make. All for today, I might change my mind tomorrow, and last week it was a different song. But today,
I get it all the time.
Today it is Matombo featuring Oscar Soul Experience. Tell us about this one. We haven't got much time.
Oh, yeah. This one is called Matombo. This is the song that I recorded at first. I recorded in a town, tourist town called Maung, and I had gone there to record a song called Mashilling, and an older version of Mashilling, and that Mashilling really sucked. So I was really frustrated because I had traveled 1,000 kilometers to go record Mashilling, and Mashilling didn't happen. So that night in the hotel room, I was like, I can't go back to Gaborone empty-handed. So I wrote Matumbo that night, okay. And Matumbo happened.
And it's absolutely beautiful. I'm going to have to say yes. Goodbye, but thank you so much, Siridzi. Thank you for your beautiful music and our lovely chat. Thank you so much.
Wow, thank you for this opportunity. God bless you. Thank you so much.
The World Show with Nikki B on Kaya 959.